بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Through the sessions, this first session will be very brief, but the plan is to continue covering the text that, excuse me, we had began covering in the last retreat. So I don't know if some of you were here in December, but we covered some sections of a book called Kitab al-Hikam, which is called the Book of Wisdoms. And I think the link was shared as well for the audio. So hopefully some of you had a chance to listen to the audio recordings from the last retreat. So we're just basically going to continue with this particular topic. So the text is a very unique text. Many of you may have heard about this. Ibn Ata'illah rahimahullah al-Iskandari from Egypt, he had compiled, you could say, these aphorisms or these sayings, they're just so deep, you know, in their wisdom that inculcates teachings from the Quran and the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is something that many people just take and contemplate and ponder upon for sometimes days on end. So we did this in the last retreat, and so I'm not going to go through the introduction, the biography of him. Hopefully you've had a chance to do that in preparing for this retreat. But we'll just sort of continue with a few of these topics, inshallah, over the course of the weekend. The idea is that I share it, I recite with you, we read the topic together, we learn from it, and most importantly, we internalize it and think about how is this going to be applying to me. It's a matter of my own life, changing myself around for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I mean, and so every single thing that we cover today and tomorrow and the day after should be to internalize this so I can rectify myself moving forward. So inshallah, we'll begin this again. This first session will be very short, and this first section that we'll cover today and maybe a portion of tomorrow will be I don't know where I put it. That's fine. I don't need it. Will be on the topic of sincerity. So I'll recite the first one. It's in Arabic, and then there's a commentary that goes with it. Remember, the Arabic is Ibn Ata'illah rahimahullah, and if you recall, the commentary is Sheikh Abdullah Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi's commentary, who was one of the leading scholars of India, in particular, after he had compiled this. He'd gotten this recommendation from his teacher, Mawlana Saharampi rahmatullahi alayhi. So this first one goes as follows. And again, the topic is on sincerity, and I think it's quite relevant to this first session. He says, غَيِّبْ نَظَرَ الْخَلْقِ إِلَيْكَ بِنَظْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَغِبْ عَنْ إِقْبَالِهِمْ عَلَيْكَ بِشُهُودِ إِقْبَالِهِ إِلَيْكَ. And the translation of which is, make mankind's looking at you disappear by being content with Allah Ta'ala's looking at you, or with God's looking at you. Again, make mankind's looking at you disappear by being content with God's looking at you, Allah's looking at you, and slip away from their approach, meaning mankind, slip away from their approach to you by contemplating His approach to you. Slip away from their approach to you by contemplating His approach to you. Look, so this is an important topic because I think it really applies to us here this weekend. And that is, you know, asking myself this question of, like, why exactly am I here and why did I choose to come here? Like, what am I hoping to gain? For some people, it may be that they're encouraged by a friend, or they happen to like the food, or maybe, you know, the environment's nice, as new carpet, it's a little softer this time. Maybe there's different motivations, reasons, but I mean, those are all superficial, right? At a deeper level, like, all of us should ask ourselves tonight, before we go to bed, what exactly was I hoping to gain, or am I hoping to gain from this weekend? So look at the aphorism that he shares. Because the question is, you know, sincerity. How do I start to live my life in such a way, essentially what he's saying, so that I care only about what Allah thinks of me, and I remove the ideas and thoughts or concerns that other people may have of me? Why is it that I'm so overwhelmed with what other people think about me, and I'm generally less concerned with what Allah, my Creator, thinks of me? Okay, and think about how this ties into the weekend. So the commentary, he says, the disposition of the sincere servant is such that the pleasure and displeasure of people are irrelevant to him. Right? Ibn Ata'illah rahimahullah, And Sheikh Abdullah Gongohi, they're specifically referring to the sincere believer, someone who is like really has in their heart, like, you know what, I really need to make a change in my life. Enough is enough. I know that there's one Allah. I know that I'm supposed to be worshiping this one Allah. And I know that I'm supposed to be giving my full attention to this one Allah and be less concerned with what other people necessarily think of me. So he says, the disposition of the sincere servant, not any believer, not any servant of Allah, but the one who's sincere and in their heart has a degree of sincerity. For that servant, this disposition is such that the pleasure and displeasure of people are irrelevant to him. When I become so cognizant that Allah Ta'ala is watching me and that Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is ultimately what determines my success, I become less concerned with what other people think of me and their pleasure and displeasure of me. He says, he has no care for either reaction, since the gaze of divine mercy is perpetually on him. He is oblivious to the attention others accord to him. Right? I mean, someone who's sincere is so caught up in recognizing that the master of the universe, the one who created every human being, the one who created every aspect of this universe and brought me and gave me life and continues to sustain me, my food, my breath, my living, my every moment in this life, this being is watching me. The gaze of divine mercy is perpetually on me. I become oblivious to the attention of others around me. Right? So it's interesting because many a times people ask the question, like, how do I start to do things purely for the sake of Allah and become less concerned with what other people think of me? Well, the problem isn't that I'm so caught up in what other people think of me. It's that I haven't really appreciated what it means that Allah is actually watching me. I haven't really internalized that. What it means to have the master of the universe have his attention on me. If I appreciated the magnitude of this, then everything else would be whatever. You know, if a bunch of, you know, you have someone that you're trying to impress is sitting and observing you, right? And then a bunch of little kids come and laugh, and you don't care because you care about that one person who's observing me for a particular reason, and I have to impress this individual. So he says, to him, it is irrelevant whether people honor or dishonor him or whether they respect or despise him. His heart attaches no importance to their attention. On the contrary, he contemplates the divine attention that is on him at all times, considering it an invaluable treasure. Considering it an invaluable treasure. Look, one goal that all of us have to have, we must have, if we are committing ourselves to the masjid for 36 hours, and we're committing ourselves to our program and saying, I need to really develop myself. One goal that we must have is that we have to be fully attentive to Allah Ta'ala at all times. And in particular, we should be fully attentive to the attention of Allah on us at all times. There's a difference there. We should be fully attentive to Allah's attention upon us. Look, when I sit by myself and face the Qibla and I'm sitting in the masjid, appreciating that the Lord of the universe is observing me, engaging me, and has his eyes, figuratively speaking, on me, what more could I possibly want? What more could I possibly want? I mean, does it matter who all sees me at that point? It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The king of the kings, the one who created every leader in the world, every celebrity in the world, every quote-unquote important person in who's who of the world, this master, this being, this creator, is at this moment placing his attention upon me. That's incredibly powerful. It's incredible. And that's the treasure of all treasures. So he says, on the contrary, he contemplates the divine attention that is on him at all times, considering it an invaluable treasure. Being in possession of this great treasure, the treasure being that Allah Ta'ala is observing me and watching me. What an amazing gift that is, right? Being in possession of this treasure, he can never truly divert his attention to others. He can never truly divert his attention to others because it just doesn't matter at that point. It doesn't matter. Look at the wording that he uses. Okay, let's take a step back. It doesn't matter. Let me give you an example, right? Let's say you're like a star high school athlete, and you know that the college recruiter from whatever Michigan State University is going to be at this game watching you, right? I mean, let's say you dribble the ball, and you know this person's watching, and the whole crowd is watching, and you turn it over. Right? You turn the ball over. What are you doing? Do you care what the crowd's reaction is? No, you're looking to see immediately, did that guy see what happened? You're asking everyone, did he see? Did he see what I just did? Because if he's what matters. Everybody else is irrelevant at that point. They're all there, they're all watching, but that one recruiter is what's most important to me. If he didn't see it, I'm saved. And then if he saw it, I'm done. Right? I mean, for the believer, it's very similar, except to the nth degree. If, you know, of course, nothing gets past Allah, but I'm just highlighting to you that the view of everyone else becomes irrelevant when there's someone of significance in our life that's observing us. This is a silly example, but let's just say that, you know, if someone is very interested in a particular girl, right, or they just had this whatever, they were interested, and they're not married, of course, they, you know, they're walking, they're trying to impress them, and let's say they're on whatever on campus, and they walk out the door, they're looking, and then all of a sudden the door slams in their face, and it hits them, and they're like, they look like a fool. Everybody else starts laughing. That person, what are they looking at? They're looking to see, oh, did she see that? You know, like, I don't care if all of you are laughing at me, but if she saw the fool that I made of myself, that's going to be a problem because I'm really interested in impressing her, right? I mean, these are silly examples. I'm just giving you examples that, you know, once there's a particular important person that's observing, we begin to lose sight of everyone else that's watching. And that's the approach that we should take with our Allah as well. And that's the key to sincerity. It's not that I need to, you know, my problem is not necessarily that the reason I care about what other people think of me when I'm praying, when I'm going to the masjid, when I decide to take some other noble action, isn't because there's any value to what they're able to provide me. It's because I'm not really appreciating the value of the being that's actually looking at me, and that's Allah. So look at the wording of this aphorism. He says, I'm just going to repeat this again. Make mankind's looking at you disappear. How? By being content with Allah's looking at you. By being content with Allah's looking at you. Appreciate the value of one moment of Allah Ta'ala looking at me with love and mercy, and recognize that if I can capture that, then I don't need anyone else's attention whatsoever. Then he says, and I think this is even more amazing, the second part, slip away, he's translating rib as slip away, but move away from, slip away from their approach to you. Iqbal means, in Arabic, it means to draw near to something or to approach something. And when iqbal ala, when you're adding the preposition of ala, it means to to have a concern for someone or something, or to be responsive or attentive to them. So he's saying, move away from other people's concerns for you, slip away from their approach to you. How? By contemplating his approach to you, Allah's approach to you. Contemplating Allah's approach to you. Let me look at Allah's approach to me. You know, I mean, it's incredible. In the middle of the night, if I'm by myself and I can't go to bed at night because some stress is worrying me, who am I going to reach out to? I call upon Allah. Because Allah is the only being that can listen to me at that moment and can actually respond and do something about that moment. You know, if I'm stranded in a desert somewhere, middle of the night, it's been 2 days now, and there's no sign of human life in sight, who am I going to call upon? Allah. There's no one else I can turn to, right? If I'm taking an important exam and we're an hour in and I feel like I'm really struggling and I know I'm not allowed to talk and I can't text because there's proctors in the room, who can I ask for in that moment for help? Who can I reach out to? Only Allah, right? I'm about to go into the operating room, major surgery, and I've already spoken with all the physicians and my family's already said goodbye and they're wheeling me in. Who else am I left to interact with in that moment? Who else can help me? I can't say anything to anyone. They're about to put me under. In that moment that I have one being that I still have left that I can still call on, that is Allah. Which is why Allah says in the Quran, and this isn't said about any human being, or say interaction between human being whatsoever, it's not possible. He says, "Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an." I respond to the call of the caller when he calls upon me. Whenever he calls upon me, whether it's in the middle of the night, or stranded somewhere in the middle of the world, or when no one else can hear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's at those times, don't forget, that I'm always available, my attention is always on you, I'm ready to hear you, and I'm ready to respond to you. That only comes from Allah, because that only Allah can fulfill that need that all of us have. So think about that and contemplate over it, and this is why he's saying, slip away from their approach to you, which is, that for the most part, human beings are going to do something for you if you do something for them. Human beings are going to respond to your call if there's something that I'm going to get, for the most part. You know, there's not this complete selfless nature that no matter time of day, wherever you are in the world, I am here for you. No, there's going to be a little bit of, what do I get out of this? There's going to be a little bit of, this is a little inconvenient for me. So he's saying, slip away from their approach, meaning human beings' approach. And I say this even like in deep relationships, slip away from their approach to you by contemplating the approach that Allah has with us. In particular, the concern that Allah has for us. And the responsiveness, right? Because iqbal ala, the responsiveness by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attends to our every need. So that's the key to sincerity. It's not by, you know, continuously refocusing my attention away from people so that I can focus on Allah and make my intention pure for Allah. No, it's just to appreciate the magnificent Allah. I have he's watching me in this very moment. It should be irrelevant to me what anyone else thinks, because I have an incredible opportunity before me. So the summary, you know, of this session is that as it ties into what I mentioned in the beginning, which is this weekend. Look, if there's one thing that you and I can gain from this week, we're going to be here for 36 hours. And of course, there's prayer, there's interaction, there's a lot of, you know, the dhikr, Quran. And those are all important, but those are all mechanisms by which we try to attract Allah's attention. They themselves are not the goal. But if, even for a moment, 10 seconds, 5 seconds, over the course of the next 36 hours, we can sit, face the Qibla, and really appreciate Allah's presence and His attention over us, and we can reciprocate some degree of that attention, we'll have been successful this weekend. We'll have been successful this weekend. I mean, that's the key to Ramadan. Key to Ramadan is not 30 days of fasting, 30 days of Qiyam al-Layl, whatever, going to iftars every single evening. That's not the key to Ramadan. The key to Ramadan is if at some point in that month, I can attract Allah's attention and His mercy and be fully in tune and attentive to the magnitude of what that means, even if it's for just 5 seconds, at some point in Ramadan, then I've succeeded during that month. So similarly for this weekend as well, the gauge and measure is going to be that. Can I find a couple of minutes where I can fully capture the power of Allah's attention upon me and appreciate what value that has in comparison to the attention of everything else in existence? And if I can do that, I've succeeded. So I implore all of you, myself included, we should seek this. We should seek this. We have time. We should think about this. And we should seek it, because ultimately this is what our success is going to lie in over the course of this weekend and over the course of our life as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the tawfiq to value the appearance and attention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has over us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from ever falling into any level of insincerity toward Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be more concerned with His pleasure of us than with the pleasure or displeasure of others. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.